platform. I want you guys to be thinking really hard about how you're going to manage your own energy, but also making sure you don't get cold.
200 pilot whales have just been found on Farewell Spit, and Project Jonah are mobilising their volunteers to get back out in the water.
Make sure you take something windproof and really warm.
It's not good news. These could be the whales the team spent all morning saving. Somehow they've re-stranded, and this time it's a long walk out over the spit to get to them.
I just want you guys who haven't had a briefing before to kind of know what you're stepping into, all right?
It's taken me about 15 minutes of walking through mudflats to get to where the whales are, and they still look like tiny dots on the horizon. In amongst them are lots of orange jackets, which are the Project Jonah medical people.
When I get there, people are already surveying the situation. It's a distressing sight.
I'm just beside a pod of about 8 pilot whales, and in front of me is a little baby. You can hear her crying and trying to breathe. And the whale next to it is on its side, just gasping for breath. Oh, absolutely tragic.
When we were first here, the water was still deep enough for the baby to swim around. And the baby was going round and round. It would always come back into this big one. So I don't know whether this is an older sibling or something, but yeah, family group it for sure.
It's like someone gasping for their last breath.
The beach is littered with pods of whales on their sides, heaving through their blowholes and flapping their tails. Moving between the helpers are Project Jonah volunteers, teaching people what to do. Annie Birmingham is working with one group.
A lot of them that have re-stranded today have re-stranded on their sides in pools of water, so they're going to drown if we don't get them upright. So we've got a team of strongest people we could find. We just uprighted that really humongous male over there. This is our second one. And our team will just go around getting the whales turned upright. Yeah.
You've got a big job. How many whales are there here?
Look, honestly, I don't even want to count. It's pretty devastating, the kind of number that are re-stranding today after all the work that went on this morning.
David Park is a local government employee.
At the moment, all we're doing is just trying to stabilise this whale, so just keep her cool and calm. And one of the problems we've got is that we're just sitting in a little pocket of water where the sand is just slipping away on one side, and if that happens, she's just going to roll back over and be on her side, and it's going to be hurting her organs and her fins and causing her a bit of distress. So we just want to really try and brace her in this upright position, put her in a good place, just as, well, the best place she can be until the tide starts coming in.
Well, how long away is the tide? Because we've got quite a lot here.
It's going to be at around about 11.
Do you think she's going to survive till 11?
Yep, I absolutely do. Yeah, totally. So she's in a good spot, you know, as opposed to, you see that one? That's what happens if they lie on this side.
Is that one dead?
That one's dead, yeah. So you see the blowhole is covered, so that one is effectively drowned.
It's the little babies that really get you. I'm just coming up to a little baby now, and listen to the noise it's making. I'm just stroking this little baby now, and he's so warm and lovely. Oh.
Project Jonah began back in the 1970s, initially as an anti-whaling charity. Over time, it evolved into what it is today, a place where people can learn how to save a stranded whale. It's run by Darren Grover, who was 8 when he first discovered his love of whales in school.
At that lesson, we were introduced to whales, particularly like sperm whales and humpback whales. And as a young boy growing up in Essex, these were almost like, you know, alien beings. So hearing about these was just inspiring and incredible. But I'll always remember that lesson finished with the message that by the time we were 30 years old, these whales will be extinct. And that really, really struck a chord. And then from that time, I always had a personal interest in whales and hearing about whales and seeing them in the news. And sperm whales become a personal favourite.
Darren joined Project Jonah 5 years ago as a volunteer. Within a few months, he found himself running the organisation and going to more strandings than anyone else on the planet.
To keep a stranded whale alive on the beach, there's some very, very simple things to do. So we like to keep them cool, we like to keep them calm, and we like to make them comfortable. For instance, gently pouring water over their skin. You know, most whales are very dark coloured around their bodies. On bright sunshine, particularly here at Farewell Spit, the sun beats down on those whales. Those whales are surrounded by a thick layer of blubber under their skin. That's like a thick woolly blanket, which keeps them warm when they're in the ocean. But what that does is that causes them to heat up very, very quickly when they're out of the water. So the number one reason a whale will die on the beach is through heat exhaustion. So if we're able to simply apply buckets of water, if we have some wet, light-coloured sheets, we can place that over parts of their body, and that will help keep them cool as well. Once we've done that, we can move them into positions to make them comfortable. Let's remain calm. Let's not shout or sudden noises around the whales. If we act calm around them, we do see them calm down as well until the next opportunity to refloat them.
As they move down the beach, people from all walks of life and different nationalities are working together.
It's a very strange thing, you know, like this is the first whale stranding I've been to, and the sight of the whales being distressed and, you know, hanging on to life was very upsetting, especially when there were 300 dead whales around them. But also the sight of all these people working together was actually really quite uplifting.
I'm walking right across the Farewell Spit now in the water, in about a foot of water, to one single whale that's out with one volunteer looking after it. Hi, just tell me, you've chosen this whale. Why did you choose this whale?
Because it was just, he was so lonely. Alone, no one takes care of him.
They encourage you to talk to the whales and even sing to the whales. And there were people, I heard people singing in Spanish, French, Chinese, English as well, of course, and Te Reo Māori, which is pretty special, really.
We have a Māori woman here singing to the whale.
Now. Okay.
It's a bit more than ever.
Why do you think these whales have come in?
There are many reasons whales strand. New Zealand has more strandings than any other country in the world. If you walk further along the sand dunes here, the beach, the dunes, they are littered with the bones of past whales that have stranded here.
So why do you think this lot came in? I mean, would it have been a sick whale that brought the rest in, or what do you think?
It could have been a sick whale. It could have been whales just coming in, being exhausted from fighting their way through the Cook Strait. They're looking for some rest and looking for some food, and then they've got called out by the tide. It could have been a single sick whale that's brought them to shore, or it could have been several whales that are ill, whether that's through some disease or infection within the pod. It's also been known that if orca are in the area, orca are known as killer whales because they will kill other whales. They'll hunt and predate the calves in any pod. So often we have seen dolphins and pilot whales swimming and fleeing away from any pod of orca. So that can also be a factor in any stranding.
On the beach, the tide is now coming in. This is a critical time. The whales are surrounded in a foot or more of water, but they still don't have enough to swim in. It's now that the volunteers have to use all their skills.
Oh, she's rolling back. Okay, on your knees, on your knees, on your knees. Okay, you want to push her towards me a bit? No. Yeah, okay, you can push her a bit further against me. You guys are doing famously.
So I'm out now by the pod that were earlier completely stranded, and the water is now nearly covering them entirely, and the little baby is looking good. She's actually looking a lot better than when I first came, and in fact it looks like she's going to be fine. So these two whales, when I first came out, they were completely stranded, and now they're half covered in water, and the little baby who's crying looks a lot happier. She's nearly completely covered, and the mum with her. It's all looking a lot better.
The noise is increasing now with the water coming in, so I think these two are talking to each other, and this one's trying to get over next to this one, and which is good because it's turning. So just trying to keep them as calm as we can and hold them for as long as we can. Until...
Too heavy to lift up into that water, are they?
Oh, yeah, too heavy, definitely, yeah.
If we keep them cool, calm, comfortable, they definitely will
be able to survive at least until high tide. The real question is what happens at high tide. Unfortunately, that's going to be after nightfall tonight, which means we won't be able to be in the water with them at that time. But if we get them upright, they've got the best chance they've got of surviving.
If you do not have a wetsuit, you have to leave the beach now, please. The tide is coming in fast. It's going to be up to here soon. It's a 45-minute walk back. Okay, thanks.
As the light fades, people are told they have to leave the whales to their own fate overnight.
So after the tide comes in, this lot will either self-right and go out, or they will re-strand, and what we'll do then is we'll assess the situation at first light tomorrow morning.
While volunteers are turning in, Ollie Harris from the Department of Conservation still has work to do. Along with local Maori Chris Hill, they have to decide what to do with the 300 dead whales that are quickly decaying on the beach.
We're now travelling down the beach with the Department of Conservation to the site where all the whales died. Just past the first dead whale.
They just look, some of them look forlorn.
It's a very, very distressing sight. Yeah. I mean, I've never seen anything like this myself. It's horrible, yeah. Actually.
And the suffering that is right in front of your face, yeah. You can't really appreciate it, I think, until you've been on a stranding site.
Yeah.
They sort of corrode much faster than a land animal would.
It's really very distressing. All their skin's already peeling off, and it's only been 2 days.
That's right, and you can see some of them have swelled up considerably, and the rest are not far behind.
No. So what are you going to do with all these animals? I mean, Chris, you're local iwi. Ollie, you're from Department of Conservation. It's between you two, really, to decide what happens to them.
In the past, a favourite has been to tether them into the tide so that they erode slowly over several cycles of the tide coming in and out. And then all the other little critters around get to enjoy them as well, and it's a much more natural process.
I guess each time there's a stranding and there are dead whales, it's a different situation each time, and so then it's like looking at where they are and just that they're out of the public way and out of the view, and you know, already it's very, the stench is coming, isn't it? And
yeah, I mean, the smell here is terrible already, and it's only the third day, and it's also incredibly distressing to see you know, animals with their intestines popping out, and I mean, it's sorry to be so graphic, but it's actually
that's what's happening here.
That's right. And if you look here, you can see, look at the coming out of the, you know, leaking out of the skin here, the fluid coming out of them.
In the past, we've also used heavy machinery, loaders and quarry trucks, and transported them up the spit beyond the public access, and then dumped them just in the inside of the vegetation. They're so oily that they do kill all the surrounding vegetation too when we mass pile them like that as well. And we are talking about 200 whales that are anywhere from a tonne to a tonne and a half each.
I think, I don't know, there might be that there's a combination of things happen, Ollie, do you think, about maybe some can go up in the dunes and some get tethered or something?
That's right, yeah, it's a lot of weight that we could need to move up there.
It's 6:30 in the morning on the third day, and the sun is just coming up. The sky is bright pink, and Project Jonah people are starting to emerge from their tents. And the first thing they want to know, of course, is whether today this is going to be another day of hard work on the beach looking after whales. But they're waiting for the Department of Conservation to come and tell them what's happening. They've taken vehicles down the beach to look and see if they can find any more whales.
So radios, there's four radios today. They're in the footwell of the
A few volunteers are looking out over the spit, thankful there are no whales immediately in sight. The whales we helped yesterday have made it out to sea. Then, 10 minutes later, news comes in. A small pod of whales are beached just by the road. Project Jonah swings into action once again.
We've got everybody here, and we can get them geared and ready.
If they can't be refloated, there's a chance the Department of Conservation may have to euthanase this pod to prevent the other whales from coming to look for them. So it's critical this team gets the whales back into the water as soon as possible. When we arrive, a stranded whale up on the bank has been rolled onto a yellow tarpaulin, ready to be lifted into the shallow water.
Look!
Well done, guys.
So that's 20 people lifting a whale into the water inside a yellow tarpaulin.
So people I hear have been singing to them and touching them. Do they like being touched? Do they like being sung to?
It really depends on your singing voice or actually on the individual whale. So some will like it, some won't. But yes, if they do sing to it, some that does help some whales.
How do you know they like being sung to?
Well, if they don't like it, they'll let you know and they'll start getting very stressed and upset, flapping around lots. If they do like it, they'll just slow down and calm down.
The tide is coming in fast now and volunteers are up to their waists in water. Then the sound of a beautiful voice comes drifting over.
My name's Georgia Duda Wood, and I'm a singer and I work in sound with healing and vocal therapy.
We don't want them taking
off. So I've spent the last couple of days singing gently to these whales, calming them down, being called over to work with specifically distressed whales, and it's the way I feel I can help the most.
Thank you so much.
And it works. They love it. Yeah, they calm down. Yeah. Today I worked with a couple of the babies for a long time yesterday. One big one in particular was very distressed and it was making very peculiar noises and breathing very, very heavily. And I sat with that whale on Friday for about 5 hours and I'm pretty confident she would have swum out, one of the first ones that we got out. Yeah. Oh, hello, darling. Swimming. Oh, that's so wonderful. Yeah,
lovely, him swimming off like that.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's such joy. And on, it will always...
But George is not the only whale whisperer here. Darren is surveying the team as they refloat the whales.
I often think people think I might be a bit of a crank, particularly an example was yesterday evening as we had a restranding occurring and we had more whales than people in one area. So I went over to assist them and I was checking in with the people and checking in with the whales. And I do talk to each whale as I go around and the whales often respond to me talking. Whether that might be my gentle touch on their head or whether that is the sound of my voice they're responding to. But quite often it's hard not to see a connection that they have responded to me in some way.
Tell me, how do they respond? What is it? Are they looking at you in the eye? Do you feel like they're smiling at you? Do they make sound?
Well, there's usually a lift of the head, an opening of the eye, and it's not just an open and a close of the eye. The eye will open and you'll see the eye move around, taking you in and actually looking at you, not just observing you.
What do you feel when that happens?
Oh, there's a connection there. When we first respond to a straining, these whales are distressed. Once we've got to them, once we're applying our first aid, you see these whales calm down. I feel that there is a sense among the pod that they understand that we're there to help them.
And what does it feel like when you've actually got a whale back in the water and you see it swimming away?
Yeah, you hope that you've given that whale the best chance for a long and happy life.
The tide has come right in now and 200 people are forming a human chain. And beyond them are the whales who are now floating. And they're attaching the lead whale, the matriarch, to a boat. The boat will pull the matriarch out and it's hoped that all the other whales will follow her out. And you can see just their dorsal fins poking out of the water. And then in the pontoon, which is a floating device, they have the lead matriarch. And the matriarch is now actually, you can hear them clapping, has left the pontoon and is swimming towards the other whales. It's quite an extraordinary sight. It's such a great feeling, so elated. Everyone is so elated to watch them going off. They've been here all morning keeping them alive and they're just heading out into the ocean now. And they're all together. They've all swum in a kind of pod. You can see all the dorsal fins together. It's like that they're all regrouping and saying hello to each other.
Go back out, O whales. Go farewell with our love. Go out, return to the distant horizon. Go with the currents of the ocean.
My My name is Timothy Huia Bramley. I was following my ancestral imperative to give thanks, to acknowledge the Māori, the life force of the whales, and to acknowledge their journey back into the ocean, back into the bosom of Papatūānuku, Mother Earth, and the great ocean.
It's a very moving end to an emotional day, a bittersweet experience that's brought the best out in people. And that's why Darren Grover's not about to give his job of saving the whales up any time yet.
Do you love your work?
How can you not love this job? This is amazing. Working with people, inspiring people, and looking out for people to give them the best opportunity to help save lives. Yeah, I love this job.